right?
True.
If you're going to be getting a 20% cut in benefits in about 3 weeks from now or 3 months from now, wouldn't you like to be told about it today in preparation, or do you want it to just happen?
I'd like to be informed.
Yes, you need to know.
I think you're not making
a doctor's appointment, but you won't be to pay for.
Absolutely. You know, when you know in advance, when you have the knowledge in advance, you can make some adjustment now, so when the crisis comes, you are prepared for it, right?
Right.
So what you don't know can harm you. And you know, if you have someone in your neighborhood who is smoking pot and under the influence can really start a fire in his home, don't you want to know about that so you can pray for yourself and pray for the individual and maybe you can do something about it?
Right.
And it's very important to pray every day because you don't know whom you are living next to. Okay? Those are general knowledge that we kind of sometimes choose to become spiritually lazy about it.
True.
We only pray for I, me, and myself. You don't know what is going on in the house you're living in. You don't. Are you praying for protection there?
Yes.
You know? It's very important that to vote.
Yes.
You know, you have all of these propositions, right? And you have all of these candidates, and everyone is telling you that this is the right way to do it, and others say, no, this is the wrong way to do it, and I am the guy who can fix the problem, and I am the gal who can really fight. You know, do you know any of these people?
No.
Okay, so you have some knowledge in front of you, and now you have to take all of this before the Lord in prayer. And I tell you, do not. You know, it's good that I say that. Do not make decision based on your party affiliation. You'll be making a major mistake. Make your decision based on your true knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and what is right and what is wrong in His sight. You know why? Every decision we make will affect our individual lives and the lives of our families and others sooner or later. When you make your decision based on spiritual principles, even when the politicians and the decision makers and the people make all the wrong choices, because you have made your decision based on the living word of God, the Lord made His promise, it shall be well with you and your seeds forever. Because I have seen great majority of Christians are warring between political affiliations. You know, someone is just sealing off the mind. So again, pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, because guess what? You will be the reaper of that decision. Okay? You will be the reaper. Okay. So it is very important to get knowledge, and that knowledge is the knowledge of God. You know, Solomon, I'm going to be studying about him today. The son of David. We studied about David, and David had his own shares of victories and some defeats. David had his own victories over sin and self, over Satan, and over the giants. David also lost some battle against his own sin, and against himself, and against Satan. And we have learned something so important from his own life. As he grew through all of his successes and failures, David told us that the knowledge of God make us wiser than our enemies, wiser than our teachers. They cannot trick us and make us believe something that is not true. The testimonies of God dwelling in our heart can preserve us from great harm and evil. So how often did you read the Bible this past week? If you didn't, know this, that Satan know what you need and know how to entrap you. So never blame God for the choices you're making. What you don't know will harm you.
Yes.
And what you do know, as we have learned this morning, what was the song service about? I am not ashamed of the gospel.
Yeah.
For it is the power of God unto salvation to whosoever believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You know, when I got a bank statement, I go through it. And when the bank statement said they charged me for something, I take note of that.
Right.
Okay? And if I don't take note of that, especially if the charge is false, guess what? I lost there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And
mm-hmm.
it's going to be repeated again next month.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are so lazy to get knowledge. But because it's a bank statement, even the most lazy Christian read it. Why is that? This is where your faith is.
Because he's smart enough to do that.
You know, this is where your faith is. Your faith is in money. Your faith is in what you're doing and what other people are doing. The faith is not in the gospel. Now, when your faith is in the gospel, it is the Holy Spirit that will guide you to detect problems on earth very quickly. And not just that, he will guide you with all his knowledge and wisdom into how to take care of it. Okay? Because you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's why Paul said, the word of God save us, not just from our sins, but from the sins of others. And that's why Paul, why should I be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? So the devil knows that this is the victory over him, over the sin that he had invented. The word of God is the victory over the evil angels and over those under the control of Satan, because they can be in our household. That's what Jesus said.
Mm-hmm.
Can be in our neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Can be in our villages and cities.
Mm-hmm.
It can be in our schools.
Mm-hmm.
They are everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So if we forego the reading of the word of God every day, we are foregoing great protection and deliverance from great many harm. Okay? So every morning, what I do, I have a devotional, or several books actually, next to my bed in addition to a Bible.
Wow.
That's the first thing I do.
Right.
You know? Oh, I woke up today. Thank you, Lord.
Right.
I go to prayer.
Right.
Now, if I really need to rush to the bathroom, I do that, and I come back, and I read. It is a commitment.
Mm-hmm.
That is the first important food that I must feed my soul.
Yes.
Because God always equipped me with the full armor before I go to battle.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer and the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that is exactly how David lived, and David had many enemies. You know, when you read the life of David, no one had more family problems than he did.
Mm-hmm.
Had serious family dysfunction.
His son tried to kill him.
And he had different sons from different wives who tried to kill each other, who really harmed each other very badly. And out of all of this came the seed of Christ, the Lord Jesus,
yes.
from the offspring and root of David.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing?
Very amazing.
Because David remained committed to the word of God, to the testimony of God, and actually he passed this to his son Solomon. And we're going to be examining Proverbs today, chapter 4. But let me tell you the story before Solomon got into power. You can open with me 1 Kings chapter 3, okay? And let me summarize chapter 1 and 2 for you. David now was growing old. David was growing old, like some of us. And Peter feels it too. If you have four kids of the same age, you would got white hair like Peter too. Gray, not white yet.
First Kings chapter 3.
Here it is. Now David have grown old. As a matter of fact, the Bible is saying that he had a problem, that he was feeling so cold. And there is nothing that can keep him warm. Okay? And so in his old age, he married a very young gal. His own counselors advised him that, you know, he need to get another body friction. You know, science say that today, that if you get caught in the freezing weather and you're dying, it's just body heat can help. You know, at night when I get really cold, I'm very thankful sometimes, you know, that I have a cat. she go and sleep at the foot of the bed. And boy, when I get inside the bed, I kick her off and I put my feet where she was sleeping. You know, her body heat is still there. And so they advised David to marry that woman, and he did. We don't know exactly whether that kept him warm or not, but that was the advice of his counselors. And suddenly, he could no longer go in or out. So the nation was run just by his presence and by the control of God over Israel and Judah. But someone took advantage of that. David had several wives and he had many children. And one of his children, Adoniah, decided, you know, my dad is very old and he's no longer really ruling. It is time for me to crown myself king. And Adoniah went and talked to the chief of the army, Joab, who has already been in violation of some of the rules and who killed the people he should not have killed. So David was already upset with the chief commander of his army for killing innocent people in Israel who've been great warriors and faithful to the king. So Adoniah decided to go to Joab and tell him, you know, it's time for me. I am strong and I'm ready to lead this country. And I think you should support me in becoming the next king. And Joab agreed. He also went to Abiathar the priest and another one of the priests, and he said, you guys also need to support me. My dad is old and someone has to take over, and I believe I am the most fit to take over the kingdom. And these two priests also supported him.
Now,
but
he
there
was the oldest son, right?
Huh?
He was the oldest son.
One of them. And
I thought the other one already died.
Absalom was still there. Well, he was already gone, but Adoniah was not the oldest at this time. He's one of them. And he decided to go ahead and make a big party. He made a big party and invited the chief commander of the army and the priest, and many of his friends came, and they began to eat and drink, and they began to declare Adoniah the next king of Israel. Now, there was a faithful prophet there who was always close to David. He was the one who was always instructing David in the ways of the Lord and telling him what the ways of the Lord are. Do you know his name?
Nathan.
Very good. Very good, Sandra.
Well, I read a story, The Life of David, and it was very interesting.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good, you know. Family feud, family problems. You find it there. And Nathan the prophet heard about what Adoniah has done and what Joab has done and what the other priests have done against the will of God, because Nathan already knew that Solomon will be the next king of Israel.
Wow.
So he went to Bathsheba. Remember Bathsheba?
Yeah.
He went to Bathsheba, the mother of
Solomon.
Very good, of Solomon. I'm happy. We should get you more books to read like that.
that's very, very
yeah,
good.
You are a very great help. You have a sharp mind too.
Very good.
Amen. And so Nathan went to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, and said, did you hear what's going on? And he told her what's going on. I said, I need you to go to the king. And said, king, did you remember when you became king that you swore before God that Solomon will be the next king of Israel? And now this is what Adoniah is doing with Joab and with the other high priest, Abiathar. And David heard those words, and it struck him in the heart because he was quite old and ready to exit the world. And while he was contemplating, you know, as a father who have many wives and many children, he remembered that he made that promise to Bathsheba, but he did not give her the okay. He said, maybe she just wanted the best for her son. And after she left, and as he was contemplating, someone came to visit him. And who was that, Sandra? The prophet Nathan. The prophet Nathan came and told him, what are you doing? Don't you know what is going on behind your back? And he told them what is going on, and he said, remember the promise of the Lord that you should be passing the kingdom down to your son Solomon.
Mm.
You know, it's such a wonderful story. Many call Solomon the child of incest. Because remember, Bathsheba was married to somebody else.
Right.
And we know that Uriah the Hittite, her husband, was killed by David.
Yeah.
So he can marry his wife. And Solomon
right.
came out of that relationship.
Oh, wow.
Do you see how God is working things out? You know, if we look at those things and try to judge it with our own human mind,
right.
we see lots of injustice.
Right.
But here is an innocent child who did not make the decision to come forth. But he came forth. And Solomon, when David heard from Nathan the prophet what had happened, he immediately called Solomon to come in and brought the high priest and began to anoint and instruct Solomon in the way he should go. And I very much love what David told Solomon. It's just amazing. Let me read this a little bit. Solomon made king. And in chapter 1, verse 22. Okay. And King David said, call me Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet. And Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and they came before the king. The king also said unto them, take with you the servants of your lord, and cause Solomon my son to ride upon mine own mule, and bring him down to Gihon.
Mm-hmm.
And let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there king over Israel. That's how David got anointed, by the same prophet.
Mm-hmm.
And now he sent his own mule, and he put Solomon on it, and asked the priest to anoint him king, and blow ye with the trumpet, and say, God save King Solomon. This is what his other son Adonijah did, but now David is declaring it to all Israel. Then ye shall come up after him, that he may come and sit upon my throne, for he shall be king in my stead, and I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and over Judah. Wow, what a blessing to see the events of life unfolding in a very cruel way, yet according to the blueprints of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Cruelty and injustice all over, but God is still in control, and God alone has the reins of life in his hand. And Benaiah the son of the Jehoiada answered the king and said, amen. The Lord God of my Lord, the king, say so too. This means confirmation. I agree that that was the ordinance of heaven as well. As the Lord has been with my Lord the king, even so be he with Solomon, and make his throne greater than the throne of my Lord King David. So Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada and the Kerethites and the Pelethites went down and caused Solomon to ride upon King David's mule and brought him to Gihon. And Zadok the priest took a horn of oil out of the tabernacle and anointed Solomon, and they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, God save King Solomon.
Mm.
Now you know where the English got this, God saves the queen?
Yes.
And all the people came up after him, and the people piped with pipes and rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth rent with the sound of them. Everyone can see it. And the word went out. But here it is. And Adonijah and all the guests that were with him heard it, as they had made an end of eating. And when Joab, here it is, the commander of the army, when Joab heard the sound of the trumpet, he said, wherefore is this noise of the city being in an uproar? The commander of the army wanted to know what is going on. And while he yet spake, behold, Jonathan, the son of Abiathar, the priest, came. And Adonijah said unto him, come in, for thou art a valiant man, and bring us good tidings. And Jonathan answered and said to Adonijah, Verily, our Lord King David has made Solomon king. And the king has sent with him Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and the Kelethites and the Pelethites, and they have caused him to ride upon the king's mule. Assuredly, Solomon is king. And Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him king in Jehan. And they are come up from thence rejoicing, so that the city rang again. This is the noise that ye have heard. And also Solomon sitteth on the throne of the kingdom. And moreover, the king's servants came to bless our Lord King David, saying, God make the name of Solomon better than thy name, and make his throne greater than thy throne. And the king bowed himself upon the bed. That's how old he became. And also thus said the king, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which has given one to sit on my throne this day, mine eyes even seeing it. He was still grateful that he's able to see that day, okay. That his son is crowned after him and anointed to be king. And listen to this now. And all the guests that were with Adonijah were afraid and rose up and went every man his way. They can no longer support him. His father did not anoint him, and now they are in violation of the kingdom's rule. So they wouldn't support Adonijah. They fled. They don't want to be anyone to go and tell the king who they are and what they are doing behind his back. So all of the guests and the friends of Adonijah fled. How will he feel? And Adonijah feared because of Solomon, and rose and went and caught hold on the horns of the altar. He knew that he's going to die. And as it was a tradition, he went to the sanctuary and took a hold of the altar. This means asking for pardon, forgiveness, and for his life. And it was told Solomon, saying, Behold, Adonijah feareth King Solomon, for lo, he has caught hold of the horns of the altar, saying, Let King Solomon swear unto me today that he will not slay his servant with the sword. That's his brother, his half-brother. He said, Please, I beg for my life. I love the answer of Solomon because it depicts wisdom. And Solomon said, If he will show himself a worthy man, there shall not a hair of him fall to the earth. But if wickedness shall be found in him, he shall die. That's fair. That's fair. So the king Solomon sent, and they brought him down from the altar. And he came and bowed himself to King Solomon. And Solomon said unto him, Go to thine house. This means go in peace. Okay. He pardoned his brother. You would like to hear the rest of the story.
Yes.
Read it at home.
Thank you.
Because his brother got killed.
Oh, no.
By him. For making a very serious mistake. Mm. So go and read this and see the problems in one family. And ask a question, why? You will find that those connected with the heart of God, even those struggling sinners, are preserved from harm. Those connected with the enemy and the love of self and sin, unfortunately, are the cause of the problems to the family, and eventually they lose their lives. And when you read that story, ask the Lord Jesus to teach you something about you and your family and your role to that family. Okay? It's not an accident that you are in the family and I'm in the family that I'm in. Our families are struggling, and some of them are connected with Jesus and others are not connected with Jesus. We have responsibility toward them. So in chapter 2, now David is giving instruction to Solomon. That's why I came there. And I want to read those first four verses of chapter 2. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong therefore, and show thyself a man. And here it is. And keep the charge of the law of thy God. Isn't that wonderful? To walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgment and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and wheresoever thou turneth thyself. Remember, David said that the reason for his victories and success and prosperity is the knowledge of the word of God and the testimonies of God and his sincere attempt to abide by the word of God. And so he is passing the secret to his son Solomon. And he told Solomon that your enemies will be defeated and you will also prosper when you believe the word of God and when you keep the word of God and his testimonies. You know, the word of God tells us a lot about ourselves and how to conduct ourselves and what we should do and what we shouldn't do and how we manage our own spiritual life, how to manage our own social life, how to manage our own financial affairs. The word of God who created us, tell us how to live a long, prosperous life. We have the privilege to believe it or not to believe it, to obey it or not to obey it. When the Apostle Paul said, it is the power of God unto salvation to whosoever believeth, to the Jew and also to the Greek. Mm. Isn't that wonderful? Mm-hmm. It is there for everybody. Those who believe it and those who live it will be saved from the adversary and all of his forces, and their life will prosper even as they struggle forward and onward, looking also unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our life and faith. And verse 4, that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. So parents, learn something from David. School is good. School and education and degrees are not determined factors in prosperity. Mm-hmm. Faith in the living God is. Faith in the living God and his son Jesus Christ and the application of this Bible served in their decisions will bring about their prosperity. Of course, prosperity is not determined by how much money you have or how many properties you own or what kind of a job you have. That is the definition of worldly success. Doesn't last. Prosperity is what the Bible defined by John the Beloved. He said, beloved, I wish that thou prosper and be in good health, as thy soul also prosper. You know, the Lord can bless our education. The Lord can bless our labor. The Lord can bless our relationships. The Lord can bless our bodies. That is exactly what he'd like to do for us if we believe his word, if we live his word, and if we pass the secret of this living word to our children and grandchildren. So what are you passing? What is your legacy? Are you giving your families the reins of life in their hands? David did. And that's why I am not surprised, even though he have committed outrageous sins and he knew it and he asked for forgiveness and he wrestled for a new heart and a new spirit. And he was determined, Lord, as you have pardoned me And as you have blessed me, I want to teach transgressors your way and bring many to repent unto thee. So what a wonderful treasure that he is passing to his son Solomon. If you notice, he did not pass his palaces. He had many kids, you know. Mm-hmm. Right now, he is the king and he is on the throne. Solomon is. But he had David had lots of riches. And I'm very sure he followed the laws of Moses by dividing the inheritance mm-hmm. with all of his children. Mm-hmm. He was fair. And you see that in his treatment of all of his wives. And so he's passing to Solomon the key to life and prosperity. Now I want to go to chapter 3 quickly. Now David passed away. And he reigned 40 years.
Wow.
3 years in Judah and 37 years in Jerusalem.
Wow.
And now he passed the greatest and the most awesome torch of responsibility to Solomon to accomplish two things. To build the house of God.
Hmm.
Wow. The Lord told David, you can't. Your hand is full of blood. I'm going to let Solomon build my own temple. Mm. What an awesome privilege that was for Solomon. Also, he passed the responsibility of ruling over all Israel and Judah. And Solomon knew at this time he lacked a lot of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
His father is telling him, it is the knowledge of God that you need to prosper. And Solomon humbly recognized he does not have it.
Mm-hmm.
And now he has to count on Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and all of these wonderful people who have a greater experience with God and who have greater knowledge of the Almighty God and Creator than he does.
Mm.
But listen now, when he was given the opportunity to ask, he could have asked for anything that he desired.
Mm-hmm.
Let us look at chapter 3 and verse 3.
Mm-hmm.
And Solomon loved the Lord. I love to hear that. You know, when you say that my son, my daughter really loved the Lord.
Wow.
This is so wonderful. This is a mighty blessing and gift from heaven.
Yes.
Imagine if that is your son, that's your daughter. And Solomon loved the Lord. You know, you can make easy predictions. Easy predictions. I was reading this week, the whole week, about teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And what should you expect of their life? If they got to know the Lord Jesus down in the heart between the age of 5 and 12, the chances are, as they go through ups and downs, they will remain affixed to Christ.
Yes.
And they will love the Lord their God with all their heart and mind and soul, and they will prosper. But if you don't catch them between the age of 5 and 12 to really teach them the ways of the Lord, they struggle a lot.
Mm.
And many of the people that they have surveyed, thousands and ten thousands of families, very few of them really connect with Jesus later on.
Okay.
So it is very important to know that David, even as a king and a struggling sinner, left behind him the best legacy and the best example ever, and give his son Solomon the best key to life and blessing on earth and the key to eternity. And here Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father.
Mm.
Isn't that wonderful? Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for there was the great high place.
Mm.
1,000 burnt offering did Solomon offer upon that altar. That's how much he loved the Lord.
Mm.
1,000 offering of thanksgiving to God. And you know where the offerings went? It went to feed the priesthood. It went to feed the people of Israel, especially the poor and needy. So obviously, he was not lacking.
Mm.
In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. You know, if in your own life today, and you have developed, and I have developed lots of needs inside, if that privilege was given to us tonight in a dream, ask, what shall I give you? What will you ask for? And you know, why does it have to be a dream when God is asking that every day, 24 hours a day? Do we know what we should be asking for? Or as James said, your prayers are not answered because you're asking amiss. How will Solomon respond to that? Ask anything that you want, Solomon, and I will give it to you. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, O Lord, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in righteousness of heart with thee, and thou hast kept for him his great kindness, this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. You know, Solomon is acknowledging how God has been so good to his father, and how the righteousness of God suffices for David. And now he's saying, I am so humbled and very undeserving that now he asked his son, he asked me to be the king after him. He's worried. He's concerned. He's not boasting. Because of the request he asked after that, he's actually very worried about the responsibility. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. Wow. Humility. He said, how on earth am I going to go and fight wars? I have no experience, no knowledge. How am I going to rule over all of these people? I don't have knowledge. I don't have judgment. You know? He knew what it takes for the responsibility, and he knew he did not have it. And he did not want to make a mess. Neither did he have the knowledge as to how to build the temple of God. He said, I am but a child. Do you remember a prophet who said that? Jeremiah chapter 1. When the Lord said, I make you a prophet, and he said, how could that be? I am but a child. Unlearned. Completely uneducated. It's amazing how God is always, 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 always ready to do something with him who believe he is nothing. That is exactly the state we must be in if we are to experience the outpouring of God's power in our life. Get rid of your arrogance and pride, and my arrogance and pride, because it is embedded in our own fears, not in faith. Solomon declared his fear so openly before the Lord. There were no arrogance there.
No.
He'll say, my daddy favored me because I am better and stronger than Adonai. That's not what he said. He said, how could that be? And he said, Lord, I am but a child, and I don't know how to go in and come out and even judge your people. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered for counted for multitudes. Said, look at that. How on earth? I don't have the knowledge, all the wisdom. How am I going to rule all of these people and make them prosper like my father David? How can I compensate for all of his life experience? I can't. I don't. The Lord is saying, ask. Ask. And then he asked, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and evil.
Yes.
For he is able to judge this, thy so great a people. What did he ask for?
Wisdom.
An understanding heart. and the knowledge to make the right decision for all of his people.
Wow.
Isn't it true that it is our decision that put us where we are today?
Yeah.
And isn't it true that it's our decision that will put us where we will be tomorrow? So if all of our decisions spiritually, mentally, physically, socially, emotionally, academically, financially, politically, and legally is responsible for the outcomes of our life, don't we need to make those decisions wisely?
Yeah.
And don't we need to make them based on the knowledge of God, not the knowledge of man?
Yeah.
This is where our prosperity or poverty lies.
Yes.
Solomon knew that, and that tells me that he was given the gift of wisdom even before he asked it. Because it is wisdom that he asked for this. The root cause of all decisions of life. You know, Solomon was a great role model for me as a young man. And I look forward to meet him in heaven someday, even though I see that he himself, like David, made some very bad mistakes. Very bad mistakes, even though he was given the gift of wisdom. But God saved him still at the end. So he said, I need an understanding heart and knowledge to judge their people. And their speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Now, do you know how to please the Lord?
Yes.
In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy path.
Mm.
Be not wise on your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So before you decide to connect with others and with people, what do we need to do?
Mm.
Lord, grant me your understanding heart and the knowledge, and then give me the strength to make the right choice and decision. As I said yesterday, many of our own blessings come because of relationships, and many of our own curses come because of relationships.
Mm.
You know, when you hear the term from somebody, I am in a relationship, immediately what you're thinking?
You're in trouble.
Well, when people say, I am in a relationship, what is your understanding?
You're connected.
Yes. None of you heard that term before?
Romantic.
Exactly. Anyone else have another comment on that? When someone said, I am in a relationship. You know, it is such a corrupt definition of the term. And it is not Jesus who is behind that definition. Let me tell you why. Every human being in relationships all the time. If you have a family, you are in a relationship. If you have an employer and co-workers, you are in a relationship. If you have neighbors, you are in a relationship. If you go to a church, you are in relationships. Everywhere you go, you are in relationships. But what we're trying to say really is not, I am in a relationship, but I have chosen to have a deeper connection with somebody. So what you're really saying is this. I have decided to trust my innermost being to another human being. And that is serious. That is serious. And as I said in Bible study yesterday, if we did not find that connection with God first and foremost, every other person you will connect with will become your trouble.
That's right.
Relationships is what we are in, and we will be in till the rest of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Connection is something else. When you connect, you are trusting your innermost soul to somebody else. And therefore, as I believe Mimi yesterday in Bible study said, that there are some people who are really bragging that they have 5,000 friends on Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, and as I said, if throughout your lifetime you were able to make 2 good friends, you've done very well.
It's true.
3 true good friends, you've done marvelous. You've done marvelous. You know, even George Washington said that, that you be cordial to everybody, but give your secrets to a few. And he said, those few, before they be entitled to the appellation, to the term friends, must go through the 4 seasons of life with you first. They have to be tried and tested through the 4 seasons of life. So those terms that we are using, friends and in relationships, those are not from the Bible unless the connection in our heart is with Christ first. Mm. You know, Jesus said, I don't call you servants, I call you friends.
Yeah.
There is no other friend who is as faithful as Christ.
Amen.
And therefore, it is very important that Solomon is saying, I want my innermost connection to be with you, O God Almighty, the God of my father David. As you have been with him, I plead that you be with me, you know? Because David now have to have a relationship with millions of people he doesn't know, and he has to influence all of their lives by his own choices and decisions. When you establish relationship with family, you're influencing people. Neighbors, you're influencing neighbors. Workers and co-workers and employers and employees, you're influencing people. Everywhere you're influencing people, and you're susceptible to be influenced by others. Here it is. If your heart, like Solomon, is connected with the Lord Jesus Christ, and if your decision is based on what is good and what is right in his sight, every relationship you will develop will prosper you. And when those around you do not have that connection with Jesus, you will be saved. That is, if in that relationship you are honoring the Word of God. Because remember also what the Bible says, that evil communication corrupts the best of manners. If you have relationships with anybody in the world who is not connected with the heart of Jesus Christ, you are loitering with temptation. And when you are, if the Holy Spirit is in you, you know it right away. And then the Holy Spirit say, hey, take 2 steps back. Or, this is the way you go. Walk in it. Or, I will give you words that no man can deceive you, against thee, or stand against you. But I have seen many Christians who are throwing this out. Because of their own sicknesses emotionally, they have that desperate need for connection.
Desperate
need for connection. Mm-hmm. Rather than connecting with God first, they connect with everything and everybody. Even with the computers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they connect. They don't want to have a connection with God. So they hurt themselves and hurt everybody else. And I'm very thankful that David passed the key of prosperity to Solomon. And Solomon is taking it very seriously. And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. But here it is. Here is what comes with this now. And God said unto Solomon, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor has asked the life of thine enemy, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee.
Wow.
And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days.
Wow.
Boy. And I love the verse 15 as well. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offering and offered peace offering and made a feast to all his servants.
Wow.
Jesus summarized all of this by saying, and seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all the things that you need, that you did not ask for, shall be added unto you. You know, many a times people say, when will I be able to get that? I have been praying. And I have been praying. You see, when you pray, you believe. And leave it alone. You see, pray, believe, and live.
Right.
When you are so obsessed with something, you are making an idol out of it, and the Lord will never give it to you because it's going to harm you. What are you saying? I am desperate for a relationship with something or somebody. When your heart is crying out for what? A relationship with God that will free you from that. And guess what? You will be so shocked. All of the things will be added unto you when you are not asking for it. It just happened. Because when I want something very badly, whether it's a car, a home, or whatever, it becomes what?
Obsession.
An idol. I have a mental, spiritual, physical, and emotional and social dependency upon that. That's a sickness. How about if I invested all of my good feeling in this thing or in that someone? And how about if it disappeared on me? I would fall apart, right? My God is gone.
He knows what's best for you.
Solomon was a very wise man and a great example for all of us. I'm going to read his own words in Proverbs next week. But for now, let us contemplate that. How much of the Word of God do you take into your decision making? My friends, I know with all my heart that the Word of God is the Word of life and blessing. And that is why we have to mind it in our decision, because the enemy will always come to steal it or to give us a substitute. I'm going to tell you something else. Our emotions, and our health, mentally, physically, and spiritually, is connected with prayer and the Word of God every day. If you pray sincerely every day, you will be quite healthy. If you read the Word of God and try to apply it in your decision making, you'll be quite healthy. If you don't, you'll experience the opposite. And guess what? You will feel much more needy and so dependent upon the crumbs someone else throws to you. Did you see that?
Yeah.
And who is that someone?
Satan.
Exactly.
So
I pray that we can find the Word and the knowledge of God, the foundation of our decisions for ourselves, for our families, and that we pass that to our children and our loved ones. When I talk to my mom overseas and my sister, after listening, somehow I have to bring the Word of God in to remind them of the promises of God. And I hope with all my heart that they hear it and follow it. But I cannot make them to. I have received something wonderful, and I love to pass it to those who ask, seek, and knock. And guess what? It adds to our blessing to share what we have. It was also Solomon who said that. He said that the rich gives to the poor and is increased in riches.
Wow.
You think when you give up something you lose it, right?
No.
When we are rich in the Spirit, rich in the Word of God, rich in every aspect of life, and we share everything God has given us with others, in the truth and by the Holy Spirit, it can only increase. And Jesus told us that about the parable of the talents. It can never dry. So one of the ways we can have the word of God return in our heart, and one of the ways to increase our prosperity and to protect ourselves and everything God has given us, is to share the word of God and the power of prayer with those whom we have relationships with. If you're going to have a healthy relationship, you got to connect by the word of God. And through the love of God, lest the enemy will find your weakness and use it against you. It is my prayer that the Holy Spirit today and this coming week dwell in our hearts so mightily that we can experience the power of prayer and the power of the word of God really working for us and through us salvation and prosperity. And that we may see those evidence so clear that our faith and trust in Jesus grow deeper and stronger and to bless everyone around us. This is always my desire and it's always my prayer for you and me and our families and God's people worldwide in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let us stand together. Our Heavenly Father and God, Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, Holy Spirit of the living God, with Solomon, Lord, we desire and petition and pray that you alone have the ultimate connection in our heart, in our minds, in the bodies that you have given us, in our love, in our will, in our lives on earth. May you take the complete control and may you fight our every battle, satisfy our every needs, and deliver us from every evil. And may the gift and power of prayer and your living words works in us, for us, and through us in all decisions of life, for ourselves, our families, the places of our employments, in our neighborhood, in your church, and throughout the days of our life on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.